Welcome to Sarah Gonzalez Unfiltered. Whew, got a lot going on today. Yesterday, homes in both LA and Miami belonging to rapper Sean Diddy Combs were raided in connection with a sex trafficking investigation by agents from the Department of Homeland Security. I want to play some of the news coverage from that raid. Watch.
They are heavily armed and they've been very tactful, would probably be the best word to use, as they made entry into this home this afternoon. We actually watched them as they made their way through one of these side gates, and as soon as they got inside the home, the first things they did was made their way into this garage that you see is open right there. Now, they did take a couple people into custody. We witnessed that. Now, are they under arrest? Are they just being asked about what they know? That I can't answer, but I can tell you there's three people right there that were taken into custody, were inside that home at the time of the raid.
So these raids follow a wave of civil lawsuits filed against Diddy late last year. Three women and one man were interviewed in relation to allegations of sex trafficking, to which, of course, he has denied any wrongdoing. He said on the matter in December of 2023, "For the last couple of weeks, I have sat silently and watched people try to assassinate my character, destroy my reputation and my legacy. Sickening allegations have been made against me by individuals looking for a quick payday. Let me be absolutely clear. I did not do any of the awful things being alleged. I will fight for my name, my family, and the truth." So as the raids were taking place yesterday, Brendan Paul, Diddy's alleged drug mule, was arrested as federal agents intercepted the rapper's private jet in Miami. And immediately following the raid, music producer Rodney Jones Jr., who filed a sexual assault lawsuit against Diddy Combs in February, officially added Cuba Gooding Jr. in an amendment to the complaint accusing him of sexual assault. So yes, the plot thickens. It keeps going on. But wait, there's more. And none of the things you want when you hear, but wait, there's more. He accused Gooding of sexually harassing and assaulting him on a yacht in the Virgin Islands rented by Sean Diddy Combs in January 2023. And Jones accuses Diddy of not only failing to step in and stop Gooding from sexually assaulting him, but alleging that, of course, Combs facilitated the entire thing. He also mentioned Brendan Paul, the drug mule that I just mentioned, the alleged drug mule. He mentions him in the lawsuit, alleging that he served as Diddy's confidant, frequently, quote, acquiring and distributing guns and drugs for Diddy, and alleging he would, quote, negotiate the fees sex workers received, end quote, while working for Diddy. Now, before I introduce my guest here to talk about this, I want to kind of go through the timeline of these allegations. So Sean Diddy Combs was sued on November 16th of last year by his ex-girlfriend, Cassie Ventura. She was a singer who alleged that he raped her in 2018 and subjected her to a years-long abusive relationship that included punching, kicking, and stomping on her, and asserting what she called complete control over her personal and professional life. The lawsuit was settled later that month for an undisclosed amount, with Ventura stating she had chosen to resolve the matter amicably, while his attorney, of course, continued to deny the allegations, saying the settlement was in no way an admission of wrongdoing. Later that month, a woman named Joey Dickerson Neal alleged in a lawsuit that he drugged her. Combs drugged her, sexually assaulted her, and secretly recorded the assault while she was a college student in 1991. And then one more lawsuit trickling out in November, an anonymous plaintiff accused Combs and singer-songwriter Aaron Hall of raping her and a friend in 1990 or 1991 after meeting at an MCA Records event in New York. And of course, all of these suits were filed. You may be wondering about the timing of it. They were all filed shortly before the expiration of a New York law temporarily allowing lawsuits for older assault allegations that would ordinarily be past the statute of limitations. So all of these were filed shortly before the expiration of that law. But even after the expiration, Combs was hit with another sexual assault suit in December, accusing the rapper of drugging and participating in a gang rape of an unnamed accuser in 2003 when the accuser was 17 years old. And of course, the most recent lawsuit was filed last month by producer Rodney Lil Rod Jones, who sued him in New York and alleged he was subjected to unwanted advances by associates of Diddy at his direction and was forced to engage in relations with sex workers he hired. And according to TMZ, again, the plot thickens. His whereabouts are currently unknown, and his private jet was tracked to Antigua, at which point the flight tracking service FlightAware.com indicated the aircraft was not available for public tracking per request from the owner slash operator. So is he on the run? I don't know. I don't know if he's in the plane, but certainly it all stinks to high heaven. I want to welcome my friend Yaku Buyans, Blaze TV contributor, and of course, founder of Yaku Buyans Ministries, where you guys fight sex trafficking. And I know you've been in contact with some of Diddy's team. So tell us what you know.
Yeah, these cases always under wraps for so long. And then when it comes out, everybody thinks it's fresh. It's not that fresh. Yeah. We've known this for a long time. You know, a name I want to sprinkle in there that's really a name we need to focus on is Clive Davis, the godfather of modern day American music. And that's going to ruffle a lot of feathers, because from Lauryn Hill and all these big superstars that Clive has had under his watchful eye, Diddy would be the apple of his eye. And he is the money behind and the foundation of Bad Boy Records. He is everything that is Sean Combs. Mm-hmm. Success for Sean Combs within his other ventures, whether it be in textiles and beverages, et cetera, there's an empire around Diddy. But within the music industry, this has been very well known. As you know, my sister was trafficked through the music industry through an affiliate organization with Columbia Records. So this is rank inside the music industry. Don't know if he's running. Would not be surprised if he is running. That flight is going to a country with no extradition, right? But it's not just about Sean here. It's not just about him. It's about everybody who saw something and didn't say something. It's the other cases that now need to come out. So this is a call to action to say, look, if you did see something, say something. Yes, I was on the phone with some of his team today. I can just tell you people are scattering. There's some people who truly didn't know that are fearing for being implicated. They're going to have to prove that they didn't know.
Right.
Right. Innocent until proven guilty, but prove that you were not complicit, because we are talking about minors' involvement here, and it's different.
Right.
When minors get involved, Sarah, remember the law differentiates 17 and under. They're a victim regardless. And really the issue here is, you read it very eloquently, force, fraud, coercion literally falls in the definition of human trafficking. So it's the exploitation of persons through the mechanism of force, fraud, coercion, right? Yeah. Well, you're talking about rape. That's force.
Right.
You're talking about made to do some, defrauded, coercing somebody, bribing them. And then I would argue this, that Sean himself were forced to do things in the industry under the watchful eye, allegedly, of a Clive Davis and those kind of figures. And unfortunately, it is very prevalent in the hip-hop scene.
Yeah, I mean, it just feels like, what is there an entertainment industry at all that isn't rife with this? I mean, and you also, I love that you bring up, you know, all of the people who saw something for years and didn't say anything. There are videos that have surfaced and resurfaced now of whatever he was called at that particular time. He's gone through the names, right? Puff Daddy, P. Diddy, whatever it was Puffy at the time. Yeah, Puffy with Justin Bieber. Mm-hmm. And some very strange interaction between him and Justin Bieber, trying to, you know, why aren't you coming around anymore? Asking Justin Bieber, who was then seemingly, he looked pretty young to me. It looked like he was underage at the time. You've got neighbors who are now coming forward and saying that there were busloads of young girls dropped off in bikinis. And it's like, why didn't you think to say anything to anyone when you saw the busloads of seemingly minor girls getting dropped off at his house? That seems to be something maybe you should mention before.
You know, it's always like buyer's remorse, right? People always go, I tell people, be careful before you meet your celebrity, because you may be disappointed. Yeah. You may be grossly disappointed. And then people almost don't want to, because they want to put them on a pedestal and hold them up there. And this is an icon to some people in the rap and the hip hop industry. And yes, so many saw something. And I'm always going to go back to that. People saw, people knew, and they're complicit. Mm-hmm. By law, they're complicit. And yes, if they're 18 and over, we have to prove that there was force, fraud, coercion, but they're going to come out of the woodwork. But it's been going on for a long time. We're talking about early 2000s here. This is not new. Yeah. This is when Sean couldn't get anything done in the music business and Clive took him under his wing early on, within the first 2 years of the record label starting. People in the industry, in our world, were talking about the favors, the sexual favors that had to be performed, the parties, the things happening behind the scenes. I mean, people have known for a long time until someone then comes out and AKA Virginia Guffrey-esque says, listen, I'm going to go for the jugular and sue. And then hopefully others come out. My concern here is that the focus is solely on Sean.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what name to call him other than his birth name, on Sean, right?
I guess it is pretty silly that I've just sat here and delivered the entire news of it calling him Diddy, which
right?
is not his name, but...
Puffy or whatever, right? I mean, the artist formerly known as Prince, right? So, I mean, but those involved, this is... It's like rinse, repeat, mistake. Rinse, repeat, mistake. We do the same thing. We did this with Epstein in 06. We did this with Epstein recently and Ghislaine Maxwell. No one else gets subpoenaed. No one else comes to court. They're just Sean. There's Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
All his secretaries, all his associates, they all knew about, you know, the casting couch. None of them get subpoenaed. Nobody goes into this is what has to get done right this time. Let me ask you a question. Why in the world is the local news agency tipped off that there's going to be a raid? Okay, when you do a raid like this, when do we do raids like this? It happens and you learn about it after the fact. You don't have a chopper with cameras filming the raid. Mm-hmm. He was tipped off. I'll just wink at you.
Oh, yeah.
So they tip him off in the raid. And so it's yes, they arrest those kids. Those are probably kids that's in his house. Maybe they're on some of his businesses. Maybe they could be a housekeeper for all you know, whoever. Someone that's keeping the house when he's gallivanting. But it's time to bring those who have seen something and said something, big names in the industry. I'm not saying they're guilty, let them come be cross-examined. Come
right,
see.
Right.
I know many of them are guilty.
Yeah.
I know that for a fact. And other artists need to speak up now. You remember when Kesha came out and said, hey, I'm trafficked to the record label industry. The public frowned upon it. She's like, why are you a snitch? Why are you a whistleblower? I'm like, wait a second. Support these individuals. When Bieber started talking about Usher, when I start talking about some of these, and remember another thing, Sarah, we have to just explain to people. These artists' careers are managed by artist management teams who manage many artists. Go look into Diddy's, Sean's artist management company and see the other artists and then see how many of those artists are tied to Clive Davis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're typically all learning this behavior.
They run in packs.
Yep, yep.
Because they can control it that way.
Right.
They compromise them intentionally. It's not hard.
Yeah.
Go to a party. They do an activity. You were there. You're filmed. They send you a note. Surreptitiously, you were filmed. You're complicit. You'll shut up. You'll dance. You'll do what we tell you to do. Look at Cat Williams. He's singing like a songbird.
Yep, yep.
You guys don't understand how this works.
Right.
You're just at a party minding your own business. The next minute, there's an underage girl offering herself.
Yeah.
And you're filmed and you get a phone call the next morning.
Yeah.
And they go quiet.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, I hope he's one of many cards to fall because I think we need to get rid of the rot within the entertainment industry if it is at all to survive. All right. Hang with me. Okay. When we come back, let's talk about rot. Let's talk about how disgusting, how much rot there is over there in D.C. with, you know, just all of the Democrats voting against stopping taxpayer funds being spent on illegal immigrants' flights. We'll get into that when we return. Welcome to the panel. Eric July, of course, Blaze TV contributor and founder of Ripaverse Comics. Thanks for joining us.
Of course.
So you're going to be so excited because we're actually talking about what our taxpayer funds are being used for.
Oh, fantastic. I love
it. Which you love.
Yeah.
You're a big fan of taxation.
Huge fan.
Yeah.
Absolutely
Next
massive fan.
Coming.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Don't remind me.
Awesome. Yeah.
So an amendment that would have prevented federal funds from being used by the Biden regime to fly illegal immigrants into the interior of the United States was voted against by every single Democrat in the Senate, plus three independents, giving it the final vote was 47-51. And this came after a report following a FOIA lawsuit that led to the disclosure that 320,000 inadmissible aliens flew into the country in 2023, of course, taking advantage of the CBP One app, yay, to 43 different airports. Yaku, you've done a lot of work with the CBP One app.
Yes.
So they can just use that to go through the airport and not have to show ID.
It is an absolutely illegal replacement immigration system. Immigration law has to be reformed by Congress. We haven't reformed immigration law by Congress. Joe Biden and his cronies created an app called CBP One where they process as if they are a consulate, which is an embassy. So you go to a foreign country. If you're from a foreign country, you apply for a U.S. visa at a consulate general. Gets processed through the U.S. government, skip that process, just make an app. Mm. And then the app, they issue work permits. They issue what they call legal entry. So now, good luck in the future to say they didn't come in legal because right. The president said it was legal. So yeah, but it's treasonous, number one. It's illegal. Congress didn't approve it. But yeah, it's an app, and it's a massive education campaign on how to use the app and how to apply for asylum and how to get your work permits and all this stuff.
I don't know. You use the term treasonous. I don't know any other word to use to describe an elected representative or official saying, not just Joe Biden. It's not,
no.
Trust me, I include him, but I don't stop at him.
Mayorkas, Senate.
Every single senator who voted against this, who is basically saying, I think you as an American taxpayer should have to pay out of your hard-earned money that you've worked for, you should have to pay to allow these people to basically break the law, and you're going to send them to a city of their choice.
Yeah, the amount of money that the government spends, and I guess it depends on who you're talking to, because if I use the term fighting immigration, it depending on who you ask, they might feel some kind of way about me saying that. Is the money maybe getting peed away? Probably. Is it going to more ineffective, let's say, things that they're trying to do to combat it? Perhaps. But they do spend an exorbitant amount of money already to this day to supposedly combat this issue that is immigration. Now, it's not me including numbers that consider, be it asylum seekers and all the money it is that they may, it's even worse than what I remember when I used to like really dig into this stuff and how bad that it was. I don't think the American people really knew how much of their money was going to people that were supposedly seeking asylum. Now it's even worse in terms of what all they have access to, because for whatever reason, it is up to the American government to steal from the American people to then subsidize bad behavior, which is exactly what is happening.
Right.
So what you have right now is that people do not want, and rightfully so, when you look, I think context does matter. America has a lot of problems right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Like a lot of them. And it's not even just optics. It's just the sheer reality. Why on earth, considering all problems that exist out there, I'd argue that a lot of them would get resolved if I could even just keep the money, not you spending it in a different way, just let me keep the money that you're stealing from. But that's neither here nor there. A lot of the problems that are happening in America seem to be going by the wayside. And now you have something as blatant as this, where they're basically saying that we are going to reallocate said funding to then go subsidize folks that aren't contributing contributing again, using that term loosely, because you don't really got a choice. You're going to get stolen from whether you want
right.
to or not. So it looks terrible. And the American people have the right to look at that and say, that's a little funky, or a lot of funky. Mm-hmm. So you can call it treasonous. I don't think they necessarily care.
No,
which maybe is the source of the problem right there. But I think that when we discuss this issue, context for sure matters. I think people would be far more open, let's say, even in fighting for these supposed kumbaya sort of issues that they like to approach immigration with, if it was handled at the more individual level. Right. If it was whatever screaming senator or whatever supposed celebrity that is so compassionate about this was reaching in their own damn pockets and then subsidizing this effort. But that's not what you have here. You have the government, which already spends too much on this issue, just explicitly stating we're not only going to do it, we're going to spend even more than what we were in comparison to ourselves even last year.
Well, here's an example of that. Massachusetts is spending $75 million a month on shelters and is apparently about to run out of money. So here's the Daily Wire headline. Massachusetts burning $75 million a month on shelters may soon run out of cash amid migrant crisis. But don't worry, guys, because here you'll love this, especially you, Eric. OK, you'll love this. They just, instead of being like, hey, maybe we should stop the influx of illegal immigrants because it's an economic drain on our society, they just want the Biden administration to provide federal aid. So if you don't live in Massachusetts, they still want you to pay for it and speed up the work.
That's their solution. That's the Democrats' leftist solution to everything is exactly that.
Yes.
It's, well, they'll recognize an issue. They're running out of money. And it's always, okay, well, we just need to tax more. Right. It's never that. Maybe what we're doing is stupid fundamentally. And we need to literally change course here. They don't look at it like that. They say, well, we don't have access to pools of money or we're running out of the pools of money because we've lit it on fire.
Right.
We just need to take more.
We mismanaged all of these funds. So the solution is for you to give us more funds to mismanage. Only in government is that a solution.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like a college debt forgiveness program, right? It kind of sounds like...
Yeah, how can you trust any of these adults to learn to manage money if we're teaching
like them
not to?
It's like your great uncle will bail you out.
Right. Right.
Just go to Uncle Joe and who prints money like it's, you know, like it's water. I just want us to understand how we have been lied to and how the American contributor, true contributor, tax-paying citizen has been abused in this country, and how leadership, state leadership, have been absolutely dismal. And then you got to go down to say, well, then how the American people have absolutely done themselves in at the polls and how they don't know who they're voting for. And they can't tell you two clicks about what's down ticket. And they vote straight party. And I hear all you people with, you know, Yaki, got to go straight party. Clean up the party within the party. And so why would they stop? I always say this. Why would Satan self-correct? He doesn't self-correct. Why would these people stop if they get away with sending $200 billion to the belly dancing, you know, president of the Ukraine? Why would they stop now? No one has made them stop. No one has stopped them.
Yeah. You know, I was just saying the other day, I filled up my gas tank and it was like $3.86 here in Texas. So I'm sure it's way worse. And so I'm not saying this to complain that like that we have the highest, but it did strike me just like that's actually really expensive. And nobody's talking about it because there are so many other problems that we're dealing with. Eric, you mentioned context matters. And it's like, yes. We should be talking about this, but there are so many other bigger problems that we're talking about, like, you know, the invasion of our country that, like, it doesn't even get on the radar that that's how bad things are. Last time gas prices got this high, we were all talking about it. Now it's like, well, we don't have time to talk about that because I need to tell you about another illegal immigrant that was charged with murder.
Yeah.
Who was taken into custody and charged with homicide, felony firearm, carjacking, operating while intoxicated, and driving on a suspended or revoked license over in Michigan.
But see, it's death by avalanche. They throw so much at you. It's so much dysfunction that 80% of it goes through the cracks. You know, to your point, we drill oil in Texas. We refine the stuff. And it's one of the most expensive states in gas. It's a tax. It's a form of tax. We are taxed to the hilt in this country. They're just really good at hiding it. The Canadians aren't that good at hiding it. They just tell you we're going to take 60%
right.
of your money, and then they take the same here, even more, because they've always gotten away with it. And so I blame the GOP as much as I blame the left. We have politicians that do not stand their ground for the American people. And so they should no longer be in office. We just saw a massive swing in Texas. A lot of people are removed. I was with Nate Chatsline this morning, and Nate is like Representative Nate Chatsline, who's reelected. And he's like, man, there was a phone call. And he wouldn't mind me saying this. There was a phone call, dude. And the guys who hate us came and said, well, now we need to unite. And he's like, oh, now you want to unite because we removed your five buddies who were complete crony, criminals yeah. in the Texas House. No, look, we have to take a stand like Eric does, and he has in a long time. It's time to put our foot down and actually make it count. And we have an opportunity this year. It is 2024. Mm-hmm. I think there is an election. I hope mm-hmm. there's still going to be one, you know.
Well, don't look at Eric when you talk about voting. He's not...
No,
I'm going to chastise you. Well,
that's fine. I'm not voting. I'm okay with me.
It's a legal process that we have a tool to do some good with that we never really use for
it's
good.
It's true.
Well, I mean, I would, y'all a lot more optimistic about kind of what the outcome about that is. I just think we're starting from the top and we need to start from the bottom. The vast majority of the American people that are allowed to vote are retarded. I'm sorry, it does sound bad, but I'm being honest. And I know there's going to be some person that feels some kind of way about it, but we have to be honest that about this true. Situation. You can go talk to your average individual about what the hell is going on in this country. They have no idea what is going on.
The average IQ is 87. So, we're stretching them.
So we already are on room temperature almost, IQ, in terms of where people are at. So this is what I'm saying. Like, what exactly is the solution? I always talk about culture, and I think that's going to be our biggest vehicle, because you change the culture, you're going to change the politics by default. But looking at things that are so blatant, we look at what happened in 2020, and we look at the economic activity just being shut down really across the board, across the country, okay? Simultaneously, you have the government printing more money than it ever has. And now people are spending more money than they ever had. The dollar's not stretching as far as it goes. The most criminal of the taxes, you can make an argument, if not property, it has to be inflation of some kind of way. And people are still to this day like, oh, why does so-and-so cost so much? I don't know. Maybe it was when I was at the table over there smacking on it, mad, angry, like, what are you doing? It's concluded Trump. Why on earth would you sign a bill worth this much money, right? Yes. Talking about, well, we got to do something. No, the best thing that you could do in this situation is nothing. No. But they don't look at it like that. The average American always believes if I have a problem, the government has to fix it, and they have to spend money to fix it, when oftentimes that's what got us in the problem in the first place, right? Yes. And that's what we need to look at. Not necessarily like government is the solution, but more like government is the problem, right? And
government's never the solution. No. People are always the solution. That's always. Yeah. Shrink the government so we can't find it.
That's an abusive relationship if I've ever heard one. Okay, so while I'm sitting here with an African-American and a black man.
A black man is African-American.
Right. Thank you for the audio podcast.
I love this brother.
While I'm sitting here with you guys, I want to take a quick break, and then I want to come back and talk to you about the latest, how the Biden regime plans to address racism. I can't wait. We'll be right back.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flair over it that I wouldn't be seated. so I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to Reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.
I need you to help me work this out, okay? So the Department of Health and Human Services plans to spend nearly $800,000 of your taxpayer dollars to curtail structural racism on chronic kidney disease by applying critical race theory to the field of health because, according to researchers, the current treatment regimen for chronic kidney disease fails to attend to the role of structural racism. I'm lost.
It's all those are just bullish terms to say, hey, we're money laundering and we're just going to use a bunch of fake terms, fake jobs all across the board. Mm-hmm. And this is just how we're going to preface it. I have no idea what that means, Sarah. I'm going to be completely honest with you. But
like, I've read this 5 times and I still don't understand what I'm reading.
This goes to show just how bad things are in the West and how they apply. They have to apply like diversity and representation, inclusion and equity and all these. Everybody's obsessed with that. So they have to apply everywhere where it's where it doesn't need to be like at all. That has nothing to do with any of this. Now, I don't know if and maybe there's something that we missed, but to my knowledge, yes, there are differences between, let's say, a person like me who is of African descent. Another brother here is also of African descent.
Hold on. I am also 2%.
That's also of African. So, but it depends also on what side, right? Certain fast twitch muscles. That's a different thing. I don't think that's what they're talking about.
Because
I don't think the kidneys have anything to do with any of that. It's just that for them, they're like, well, it's a hustle.
Yeah.
This stuff is everywhere. I think people need to understand
it's
this.
It's a hustle.
This DIE stuff
really is
everywhere. It's in gaming. It's in every form of entertainment. It's Best Buy for whatever reason. It has a diversity officer.
Everyone has a diversity officer.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's the widget. It's the widget, and they'll put it on the kidney and then the spleen, and then they'll go to the tonsils and wherever, right? It doesn't matter.
What the
hell
is structural racism anyway?
Yeah.
That's what I'm asking.
Well, they went from institutional to structural. That's their new word because they couldn't get institutional racism to stick. Structural racism in the kidney.
Are they accusing God of being racist?
No, here's what that is. That is called an LSD high in the moment of writing some thesis. No, look, they'll put it on anything. It is fear-based. It is fear-mongering. It is to insinuate that there is, in fact, a difference in healthcare and what type of care people will receive. But they're not saying that. They're just saying that the kidneys are crying out, help us, please. And the people are answering.
It's because people are racist.
I have the kidneys.
That's why the kidneys are messed up, because of racism. Yeah.
Well, so when we talk about structural racism, maybe this is what they mean. So on a day where I'm going to take a situation that is very not funny, okay, and talk about for a second the Francis Scott Key Bridge that was over in, what is it, Baltimore, that just... A big giant cargo ship. This big giant cargo ship. It clearly starts losing power because you see the lights go out several different times. They were calling for Mayday. We hear from reports there's power loss number one. You see the lights go out. Those of you who are listening on podcasts, this is a gigantic cargo ship out of Singapore, and the lights go out. They regain power for a moment. And then the lights, there's a bunch of smoke coming out from the back of the ship. The lights go out again. And then right as the lights are coming back on, it's clearly too late. And it runs into the bridge, which you will see collapse in a moment. And so there were construction workers that were fixing the bridge. This is just, I mean, that's devastating. Okay, so horrible, horrible tragic, awful, but this is how ridiculous our administration is, okay? We have a transportation secretary who, instead of talking about things like this, wants to talk about, again, maybe this is what he meant by structural racism. Bridges are now racist. Watch.
If an underpass was constructed such that a bus carrying mostly Black and Puerto Rican kids to a beach, or that would have been, in New York, was designed too low for it to pass by, that obviously reflects racism that went into those design choices. I don't think we have anything to lose by confronting that simple reality, and I think we have everything to gain by acknowledging it and then dealing with it, which is why the Reconnecting Communities, that $1 billion, is something we want to get to work right away.
That's insane, man.
Look.
That is absolutely insane. But
no, hold on. Obviously, that's what he said. Obviously, that's racist.
No, he didn't.
Obviously, Eric.
This is what happens with these crack smokers. They start at one spot and then they're trying to work backwards. So something is right. That's the only time they can find something is bad objectively, is that they have to pin racism on it. So they're going to start there and then they work backwards. So this is why everything sounds all fluffed up, because it is. None of it has to make sense. They're like, we needed to prove this is racism, and therefore we're going to wiggle our way through and use all these buzz terms because they can't make sense of it at all. How the hell do they expect us to make sense of it? So they just throw a bunch of word salad out there, structural racism, all this good stuff, buses with Puerto Rican kids on it, bam, racism. And we need to reconsider this.
Yeah, nobody thought maybe give the kids a bus with a lower roof and then they can go through, or maybe any bus with anybody on that bus, no matter the skin color on the bus or the kidney. The racist kidney or the pancreas that's on the bus will get stuck because the bus is maybe too high for the bridge.
Well, that's why I'm like, do Black kids and Puerto Rican kids ride in taller buses?
I have no idea.
But he's insinuating. It's obvious, no Sarah. It's obvious.
And
it's
make
obvious
no mistake, this guy
is part of the Dumb and Dumber crew.
Well, because, yeah, and he's extremely silly, but This guy.
Excuse me. Where's your respect? That is your leader of transportation.
That's the problem. Buddy. That you bring up the point that man I was about to make.
Will talk to you about breast milk on a man.
I liked it better when he was on maternity leave. Honestly, right.
That's the problem. That, and I guess what we're supposed to respect is like this highest. He's the czar right here with transportation, albeit wasn't necessarily elected. Of course, bought in with the current regime. This guy, to my knowledge, when I was initially doing the research on him, when he first got the position, there's no track record in this industry. Mm-mm. The guy has no idea what he's going on about, yet we're supposed to believe that he is the one that is going to be in charge. And you can see that he has no idea what he's going on about, because he's talking about racism and other things which have nothing, absolutely nothing to do with the bridge.
A guy that couldn't build a bridge out of Legos.
Yeah.
I think
check a box.
Is the head of transportation, who basically takes a break when he is really needed and we have a crisis with ships amassing, remember, in ports outside Los Angeles and nobody can get any goods.
You guys are, listen, he was called Pothole Pete because he fixed all the potholes in South Bend when he was mayor.
Mayor Pothole Pete.
Really?
So, Eric, you're saying he's not qualified for the job. That was a lot of potholes over there in South Bend.
Well, Sarah, okay? I'll raise my cup on that and just say, let me know how that works out for you.
So, I mean, look, it's terrible what happened to that bridge, but like this is who is in charge of fixing it.
Yeah, right.
This.
And you know, on a serious note, when you go back and you say, okay, or let's say this bridge was constructed below compliance or whatever, then let's go and see who got the contract. And in those liberal cities, most likely it's one of their buddies with all the nepotism that got one of the contracts. But none of that matters. Nothing. Common sense is gone. Mm. Doesn't matter. It's racism because a bus got stuck. Well, who was on the bus? Only count the buses with the Black kids on it or the Puerto Rican kids on it.
Black and Puerto Rican. Make sure you add that. It's important.
Right? You can't. I mean, kidney's racist.
There are quotas here we have to reach. Yes.
Structurally, the kidney is in the wrong position. It's racist. It needs to move.
Damn kidneys, man. Damn racist kidneys, man. Trying to tell you, man. You got to watch them.
I'm glad
we're finally addressing this issue.
Let's thank
damn
you.
Racist
My kidneys
thank
are you. Not racist.
Let's,
they're in the right position structurally.
let's quickly, before we go to break here, let's quickly go over what all we know to be racist, okay? Kidneys, milk, trees,
buses,
roads. Remember the bridges. Dallas roads, bridges,
roads. What have I missed?
Yeah,
everything's racist somehow.
White people,
of course, that's automatic.
Which is why milk is racist. Yeah. Okay, in case you didn't make the connection there,
the cows are racist because they only produce
cows.
White milk.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you. Okay, cows.
When they told me in second grade they make a cow eat chocolate and they shake the cow and that's chocolate milk, it was a lie. Those darn racist cows, they don't make chocolate milk.
The unfortunate part, I know we got to go to break here. The unfortunate part is when everything is racist, then nothing is racist.
It's true.
And we can't actually address the issues that do still plague us that are or do happen to be racist.
Maybe that's the point. Maybe. Jeremiah Wright, Louis Farrakhan, Jesse Jackson. It is to perpetuate.
Al Sharpton. All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Oh, this is my favorite story of the day. You know how we just found out that Ronna Romney McDaniel had joined forces with NBC News as a contributor, which honestly was a perfect place for her, a great place for her, because she did nothing for the RNC, because she clearly was not a conservative. But what was that? 48 hours, 72 hours. And now reports are claiming that NBC News is already planning to drop ex-RNC chair Ronna Romney McDaniel as a contributor. This came after a lot of backlash from their pundits, who they say they were not told, they were not informed, as if they needed to be informed. But I want to play some of Chuck Todd having an epic toddler meltdown about Ronna Romney McDaniel being hired over at MSNBC.
Watch. Look, let me deal with the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
I think our bosses owe you an apology for putting you in this situation, because I don't know what to believe. She is now a paid contributor by NBC News. Well, I have no idea whether any answer she gave to you was because she didn't want to mess up her contract. She wants us to believe that she was speaking for the RNC when the RNC was paying for her. So she has credibility issues that she still has to deal with.
Oh, yes. Chuck Todd over at MSNBC is very concerned with guests with credibility issues. That's what's happening.
Here's how I feel about the situation. Give her another week and you'll see she's really one of you.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, she was perfect there. Although I don't hate that, like, nobody wants her. We're like, yeah, you can have her. And they're like, we don't want her. You take her back. I don't want her. You take her.
I don't know where she's going to land now. I mean, look, that's what I like, seeing stuff like this, because it brings everything into perspective. Mm-hmm. Because though we, of course, see her as a milquetoast conservative, if that's what you want to call her. If you talk to some of these leftists, they will treat her like she is some sort of radical.
Yeah, which is, I love that you bring that up, Eric, because if you look at the actual, I mean, she did them so many freaking favors with her, the way that she handled the RNC and her expenditure. She spent more money on freaking flowers than get out the vote texts. I mean, they should be giving her a thank you, because all we've done since she has been at the helm of things is lose. She is the biggest freaking loser, and they can't even, they're like, wait, she's too extreme for us. Yeah. You should have loved when she was there. She just lost. That's all she did.
I actually thought when I saw her hired by them that it was a reward.
Right. Right.
Like, thanks for all your hard work. Come on over here now. We'll love on you.
But
let's see, you know, it's, look, a new sheriff's in town with the Laura Trumps of the world, and what's going to happen now. It's about time, honestly. It's about time.
Yeah.
Because it flows all the way down. I mean, you see it in local politics, in local chapters of the RNC, and it's funny, spend more money on flowers than get out to vote. But now, I thought that was an attaboy when they hired her.
I think that it was from the top, but apparently the pundits were like, no, we can't have that radical extremist Ronna Romney McDaniel here. We can't do that. I want to play one more for you here. This is Joe Scarborough, very, very upset about the hiring of her. Watch.
Let's talk about the hiring of former RNC chair Ronna McDaniel.
Well, she was on Sunday's Meet the Press. It was her first appearance since NBC News hired her as a political analyst. I know you won't be surprised to know that we've been inundated with calls this weekend, as have most people connected with this network, about NBC's decision to hire her. We learned about the hiring when we read about it in the press on Friday.
Oh, no.
We weren't asked our opinion of
the hiring,
but if we were, we would have strongly objected to it for several reasons, including, but not limited to, as lawyers might say, Ms. McDaniel's role in Donald Trump's fake elector scheme and her pressuring election officials to not certify election results while Donald Trump was on the phone.
It goes without saying that she will not be a guest on Morning Joe in her capacity as a paid contributor.
Could you imagine, like, I host a show at Blaze. I would never in my life even imagine going on air and being like, well, they didn't ask me for my opinion on whether or not they wanted to hire this person. And if they had, I would have told them no. No. Never.
That's bonkers.
That's not a thing.
Like, the audacity of these people to think that they should be included in the decision of who the contributors are.
Who the crazy people are, because NBC already did this. They hired Michael Steele, did they not?
Yeah.
Like, back in the gap.
Right.
That was like, what, like 2000? Like that's how crazy things have got.
He's still on there, I think.
Yeah, so exactly. So it's they've done this before. But they're so far gone as far as leftists that anybody that's generally associated with the Republicans, unless you're going there to get beat down, like, Santorum, I think, every now and then will go over there and get beat down. You have to be a punching bag. But to go there as a contributor, they don't want any of that. They don't want any of that. And she, again, she's milquetoast as it comes. It's not like it's Ron Paul going over there. It's freaking, what we joke about it, we call her Romney because that's what she is.
Right. Yeah.
Milquetoast.
Yeah.
Last word. Yaku.
She's one of them.
Well, apparently she ain't one of anybody now. So, well, couldn't have happened to a more deserving person. All right, we've got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more, but we want to thank our sponsor, Preborn. So I love partnering with Preborn. They make it so easy because their organization is doing one of the most noble things that you could ever think of, which is empowering young expectant mothers in crisis who are being lied to by the left to choose life instead of death. Preborn has rescued hundreds of thousands of babies' lives through ultrasound. So here's how they do it. When a woman considering abortion visits a Preborn center, instead of being told, that's just a clump of cells, don't worry about it, you're not going to have any regrets later on when you go through with, you know, aborting, it's just a clump of cells, you'll be happier without it. Well, we all know that that's not true. And instead of doing that at a Planned Parenthood, they go to a Preborn center and they get to hear their baby's heartbeat and they get to meet their child on ultrasound. And those of you who are parents, you know this, I don't have to tell you, but I will anyway. It's a life-changing experience, especially that first time. You don't know what, you know, you have no idea what you're doing. You go in there, you're following instructions, and you're like, I have no idea what I'm about to see. And then it's life-changing. And the majority of the time, she's going to choose life for her baby. I'm so proud to be affiliated with this organization that is not only working to save lives, but succeeding. They have counseled over 450,000 women considering abortion, and over 200,000 babies will be saved. I'd say that's a pretty good track record. Okay, $28 is the cost to sponsor one ultrasound. How many babies can we save together? You can go to preborn.com/Sarah to donate securely. That is preborn.com/Sarah. Now, we talk about the rise in crime a lot, and specifically with, like, carjackings and stuff like that. But you may think that the problem is the actual rise in crime. Well, not so, because Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison just says that, well, it's the car maker's fault for making the cars too easy to steal. Watch.
We've also got to go upstream. We've got to make sure that the automobiles are not so easy to steal so that they're a tempting, attractive nuisance for young people. And, you know, right now we are investigating two major automakers because their cars are dramatically too easy to steal for young people.
We are.
Oh, it's a crazy land, man. We're living in another dimension.
Imagine you're like Ford. He said we're investigating. You like get a notice that they're investigating you because
your
people
car
are-
is easy to steal. Okay, these are skilled criminals, and they will come up with a way, of course. And people on the inside of the company sometimes leak out ways to do this. But I mean, hey, make your car less easy to steal. Don't put any accountability on the thief.
You call them criminal. He probably would call them car borrower.
Oh, like the squatters in the house that need skis.
Car squat. They're just car squatters.
Car squatters.
How stupid it is. And then there's no accountability.
But,
well, that's okay. The car makers were going to go under anyway because Joe Biden wants to turn them all electric. So maybe it'll just happen sooner rather than later. Thanks, guys.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.